The world's changing. I don't think there's any doubt about that. It's happening right before our eyes, and it is on the heels of a historic election. Hi, everybody. Welcome to a Friday edition of What's on Your Mind. I'm Scott Hennen. Kevin Flynn is here riding shotgun today on the program. And we have our governor, Doug Burgum, now officially announced as a part of the Trump administration, nominated last night for the Secretary of Interior post. It was a hilarious announcement because the president was speaking. Funny story, actually. So he is speaking to the America First gala event that was happening in Mar-a-Lago. And watching Jesse Waters last night, and they dip into the speech of the president. And he's, you know, talking about a number of different things, and he starts ticking off all the things that are going to be better in a Trump administration, and he gets to energy. And, you know, ties that to the economy and clearly locked eyes with Governor Burgum, who was there fairly close to the front row, and starts well, we have it here for you. You can hear how he kind of, he wasn't planning on announcing it, but I think he decided, oh, what the heck, let's just announce it. So
we're going to slash energy costs. We're going to get your energy bills in half, and that's going to bring down the cost, generally speaking. And we're going to have a whole new, we have a big announcement, and I won't tell you the name of his, the exact name. I think he's an incredible person. He's got an unbelievably wonderful wife named Catherine. So I won't tell you his name. Might be something like Burgum. He's from North Dakota. He's going to be announced tomorrow for a very big position. So everybody's waiting. There he is. Hi, Doc. He's going to be announced tomorrow, and we have somebody else that's probably coming up with him to be announced, who's a big one. And we're going to do things with energy and with land, interior, that is going to be incredible. And so I look forward to doing the formal announcement, although this is a pretty big announcement right now. Actually, he's going to head the Department of Interior, and he's going to be fantastic.
Let's just tell everybody.
There it is.
Let's just tell everybody. And,
I think what he wanted to do is he's a wonderful guy. His name rhymes with sorghum, or, you know, when he's like Burgum.
Well, then of course he says Catherine, so you know,
worst secret keeper ever,
isn't he? Though, yeah, it's great, and of course it is. Well, it is great news. We'll talk a little bit about this today on the program, but the Department of Interior actually has much more to do with the oil and gas industry than energy does. If you get into the nuts and bolts of these agencies, you understand that energy is it's way more to do with nukes and our stockpiles and things that really have very little impact on day to day energy policy. Whereas Interior, you've got I forget the number, but it's like a 500,000 acres of federal lands that are under your purview, and or is it 500 million? I can't remember. It's a big number, and of course, federal lands contain a lot of minerals. I've heard people actually do the math on this before to say, okay, for instance, what we do on private land in the Bakken for oil and gas development. If you look at you know, the footprint of that today and the technology involved in that today, where you go miles down and miles over, right, horizontal drilling, and the actual pump jacks and the infrastructure above ground is miles away from where you are underground getting the oil. In other words, the precision and the reduced footprint that it takes to extract oil and gas has been revolutionized in the last dozen years. And a lot of that happened right here in North Dakota. And it's sort of the genius of the Bakken Shale and what we're able to do. The horizontal drilling combined with hydraulic fracturing is the genius of the Bakken, how you get that out. Well, there's a lot of federal lands that are off limits to federal drilling right now. But if you look at the value of what we, the taxpayers, own of minerals on federal lands, and you say, okay, let's develop a 20-year plan on how we're going to set, you know, set leases for those and allow people to bid on those leases and actually go about that drilling. And again, in a very environmentally sensitive way, you have a real chance to do significant debt reduction.
Oh, unbelievable. By the way, 500 million, over 500 million acres, public lands, national parks, wildlife refuges, other public lands, about 20% of the nation's land mass is under the Department of the Interior. So, and that, 700 million acres of subsurface minerals, by the way.
700 million. Think about that.
Acres, yes, yeah. Of the minerals alone.
That tells you what is possible. And so we'll talk a little bit about that today. We actually have as guest on the program Ryan Zinke, who was the Secretary of Interior for Donald Trump in the first Trump administration. He's now a congressman from Montana. He sent me a text last night saying best pick of the litter. So he's excited for Governor Burgum to take his old spot. We'll talk about, again, what's possible. Ron Ness is going to join us today from the North Dakota Petroleum Council and just talk about what's possible here for North Dakota. Now, I want to contrast the idea I just said, this big idea of saying, okay, let's take half a billion of those acres and let's find out what percentage are needlessly on the sideline that have wealth that the taxpayer owns that could literally reduce our debt to get us back into a more responsible fiscal position in this country because of that, okay? And contrast that with what happened on the first day of the Biden administration. And the first day of the Biden administration, they said federal lands will no longer be utilized for oil and gas development. So even where there were federal lands being utilized, and there are some in North Dakota, mainly on the Native American tribes, that were pulled off the table. They lost in court on that. They were fought in court. And then what they did was they start basically gumming up the works on the amount of leases that were announced. So the exact opposite happened under the Biden administration. This is example number 1,155 of how much better things are going to be under the Trump administration. I think the other thing they do very well is connect the price of energy to the price of everything. And, if you go about this trying to, number one, say America first when it comes to energy. We're not buying it.
How do you not?
We're selling it to our friends, and we are providing enough that they don't need to buy it from our enemies. I mean, it's Russia. You know, one of the primary funders of all of the climate change rhetoric designed to shut down energy development of this country and fossil fuels. Do you know who pays the tab for that? Russia.
Russia, Venezuela.
They do it in Europe too. They're gaslighting people because the less energy development that happens in places like America, where by the way we do it much more environmentally responsible than China or Russia, then the less that we can do here, the more they do. So of course they want to fund all that.
The demand doesn't go anywhere. The demand continues to rise, actually. So, well, what happens then?
Yeah, and when you look at data centers and what the future holds. I mean, you got companies like Microsoft saying we don't grow without energy. They're finally figuring it out because they're not a software company. They need energy to run data centers, or the software doesn't run. Energy is the feedstock to produce the software and the data in these data centers. So it's good to be us. These are exciting times. We'll talk about that. The other big pick yesterday that everybody's buzzing about is RFK Jr. We'll talk a little bit about that too. And anything else on your mind for an open phone Friday free-for-all? It's a feel-good Friday. We're going to check in with another of the Dakota Medical Foundation Giving Hearts Day charities. The folks from Down Home will be here to give you a feel-good story about fresh starts on the program today. So all that and more coming up on What's On Your Mind. It's going to be fun. Buckle up for a Friday straight ahead on What's On Your Mind. Brought to you by Chose Investments, KJOSinvestments.com. You want a development? You want to dream big about what your next building or facility looks like? Take a look at ours. We're so proud of it. Chose Investments, the developer here along I-29, south of the 29-94 interchange. They can do that for you too. If you're interested in buying or selling land, developing land, talk to Chose Investments first. KJOSinvestments.com. More coming up. Our friends at Thorpe Buildings bring you What's On Your Mind. The pros at post-frame construction for ag and commercial uses. The team at Thorpe Buildings would like to give a shout-out to all the hard-working farmers and ranchers out there. If you're looking for the ultimate in post-frame construction, look no further than Thorpe Buildings. Because here's the deal. Having the right size building for that equipment and livestock crucial for your success. They'll design your building for max efficiency, customized to tackle the seasonal weather in our neck of the woods. Post-frame construction tailored to your livestock and agriculture needs. Dream up some fun ways to do it. They love a good challenge at Thor Buildings. Buildings built better, stronger, and built to last. Visit ThorBuildings.com today. ThorBuildings.com today. On the program today, some open phone time in our 9 o'clock hour for you, and welcome your calls, questions, and comments. A lot of reaction coming in to the announcement by President Trump that Doug Burgum, our North Dakota governor, will be in his cabinet, nominated for Secretary of Interior. We're going to get some reaction to that from our audience today on the program, as well as the RFK Jr. announcement. You notice, Kevin, how the RFK Jr. announcement, that's like, you know, every day they must be strategically saying, okay, what announcement can we make today that will make heads explode in Washington, D.C.? And clearly the RFK one is one of those. It's funny, somebody unearthed, I forget where they found this, but somebody unearthed a tweet from the Obama administration. And it was when they were building the Obama cabinet, and Politico reported that President-elect Barack Obama was considering RFK Jr. to head the Environmental Protection Agency to a cabinet post.
From
Democratic officials. Yeah. Mike Allen posted that back in 2008. So all the outraged Democrats out there, he'd never run anything, he's not fit, he's not, you know. Once again, he was good enough for Obama to consider for the EPA, but now that he's going to be working for Donald Trump, it's awful, terrible, horrible, yeah.
Well, and the complex that he's the biggest threat to is the big pharma health cabal that we know is the NIH and the CDC. Those got to get the rot out of all of that.
Scott Jennings did some great work. I heard him last time on CNN again on that front. We got a few clips to play for you today. So we have that. We have Ryan Zinke, Montana congressman, newly reelected to another term for Montana and Congress, but also the Secretary of Interior in the previous Trump administration. He'll react to the nomination of Governor Burgum in his old spot there, and Ron Ness from the North Dakota Petroleum Council, plus some open phone time. But we start with Feel Good Friday. Love these. And today get to learn about Down Home. Pleased to be joined by Emily Kaiser from Down Home. Hey, Emily, how are you?
And thanks so much for having me.
Glad to have you. Thanks for being here today. Tell the story of how Down Home came to be.
Yeah, our mission at Down Home is to empower lives and stabilize those emerging from homelessness by furnishing homes, strengthening connections, and transforming communities. And it was started right here in the Fargo-Moorhead area by a local couple, Jake and Janessa Philippi, and they noticed this gap that for families who were coming out of homelessness, although maybe they could secure rent or pay for food and groceries, they lacked the essential necessities to make that place a home. And when they went home each night, that home was just four empty walls. No table to sit at and eat, no couch to sit and snuggle on, and not even a bed to sleep on. And so they thought, maybe we could try to do something about this.
And I remember the story. Didn't it start with a recognition of kids coming to school who literally didn't have a bed to sleep on?
Completely, yeah. Janessa was an elementary school counselor and really noticed kids who were struggling in school to manage their emotions, falling asleep in class. And the root of that problem, right, was that they weren't getting a good night's sleep. They didn't have a place that felt like a comfortable home where they could survive and thrive.
Things you don't think of. But obviously, when you think of the challenges of homelessness and then someone finally getting out of that rut and getting housing, well, there's a lot more to it than four walls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Completely. Yeah. Yeah.
So how do you connect and help?
So we are so grateful. We have so many great community agencies in our community that send referrals our way of people that would be a good fit for our services. And then we get to go out with a team of muscle and pull from our warehouse, which is filled with beautiful donations. So people can donate, you know, couches, end tables, lamps, decor, items to our warehouse. And then we pick them out and personalize them to the families' wants and needs, even down to what colors they like, what activities the kids are interested in. And then we personalize the space for them so it feels like home. And when we have families come home and see that transformed space for the first time, it's one of the most powerful experiences. You hear kids say when they walk in the room, oh my gosh, I can finally have friends over to play. Or look, Mom, I have my own bed to sleep on. And it just, we're all in tears. They're all in tears. And it's such a powerful witness to being able to help our neighbors, to help our community in need.
What a great mission. No doubt about it. So I heard one way that people can help that are listening, and that would be with donations. Talk a little bit about what you're looking for.
Completely. So we take donations, like I said, of, you know, vertical dressers, end tables, lamps, small dining tables, couches, accent chairs, kind of all those furniture pieces that would make a place a home. We do purchase new mattresses, new sheets and pillows and towels and those types of dignity items. But that's one way that you can get involved. So if you're listening right now and you're maybe downsizing or moving or know somebody who might have a great item that's in beautiful condition, those are the types of items we love to accept. And one other way that you can help our mission is by spreading the news, sharing about what you heard today. So if you're listening right now, we'd love for you to share. And if anything resonates with you, you know, there's lots of opportunities to volunteer, business partnerships, sponsorships, being able to actually be part of that move-in transformation. Please just reach out. We'd love to connect.
So tell me a little bit more about sponsoring and being part of, sort of adopting a family.
Completely. It's a really powerful sponsorship program because you can sponsor a move-in. And so with your financial donation to our mission, then you get to bring a team, whether it's your business, whether it's your family, your faith community. We've had youth group sponsor move-ins where then the youth group comes and then they get to be boots on the ground. They load up the U-Haul, unload the U-Haul, decorate the space in less than 3 hours. It takes about an hour once we actually get to the home. And then you get to be there when the family comes home and walks through that space for the first time. And you get to hear and be a part of those miracle moments where the family sees a future filled with hope.
That's awesome. That's really cool. It's a neat way to be able to connect with somebody that might be, in a very different position than you are. Mm-hmm. You remind me of like Extreme Home Makeover and the Wounded Warriors effort where, mm-hmm. you see somebody that you want to help and just another way to help and just think about this family walking into that and seeing how much mm-hmm. it'll change their lives. It's pretty cool.
You know, our stronghold is Luke 9:16, the miracle of the loaves and the fish. Jesus taking 5 loaves and 2 fish and feeding 5,000 hungry people. And that's what we get to experience every day is that when our donors, our volunteers, our team show up with their yes, that God does immeasurably more. And that's those miracle moments that we get to be part of on this really exciting and pivotal time in people's journey. And the people we're serving are the people that are going to our schools. They're a part of our community. And so we really believe it's just helping our neighbor in need.
There's another way we can help. We can pray for the mission, too.
Completely. Please add us to your prayers.
You're doing something with a curriculum.
Yeah.
Talk about that.
Yeah. So we just launched our new Empower Up curriculum. And so we've had this Empower Up program side of our programming really since the beginning. But we've been able to enhance and refresh the curriculum. And what it looks like is for, 6 hours of empowerment skills training at Down Home where we look at the decisions that you've made in the past and what got you here to this moment today and how can we rewrite your story for the future. And so it's setting up, it's goal setting, it's skill building, account, and then we actually get the privilege to stay connected with all the families that we serve. So that powerful move-in transformation I talked about is just the beginning. After that time, we have follow-up visits, we connect them with other community resources, and we have a big down-home Christmas event we're preparing for in just a few weeks where we invite all the families we've ever served together, and we have, Christmas tree package for those families we serve this year, tradition packages for all our families, and it's a great way to really strengthen the connections and transform our community. And so, yeah, that Empower Up program I was talking about is a great way for more individuals, more families to be able to enter in to our mission and be part of the Down Home story.
And really come away with some great skill sets and life skills going forward. It's great. It really is. Mm-hmm. Tell folks how they find out more and how they can donate.
Completely. You can find more information. I would absolutely encourage you to follow us on social media. Some of those videos we do of reveals, kind of that Extreme Home Makeover feel you were talking about, you can find on our Facebook and Instagram page, as well as on our website, down-home.org.
Love it. Thanks so much. Appreciate you very much.
Thank you.
You bet. Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome to What's on Your Mind. I woke up this morning and I said, Donald Trump won, right? This is still, this isn't a dream. Can't be a dream anymore. Was, what, 312 electoral votes? National popular vote victory? Yeah, okay. Well, that's still the same.
You're right.
There it is.
And he's filling his, look, the election was a week and a half ago, for crying out loud. And look at his cabinet. I don't know what's left.
It's the gift that keeps on giving,
he's
baby.
Darn near got the cabinet filled out. I guess agriculture and interior are left. But, I mean, it's they are moving with a swiftness and an energy that is just unbelievable. The latest big one last night announced was Doug Burgum. And today the Secretary of Energy post will be, I have a tip on that one. It's not a name you probably know, but an energy, well-respected energy CEO will be the energy secretary, too. That set to be announced today. The president let the cat out of the bag last night that it was going to be Doug Burgum at an event, and we have that audio today. We'll play that for you if you haven't heard it yet. Kind of funny story how he rolled it out. But anyway, get your reaction to that today on the show. Also, heads are exploding over Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Being nominated to head the Health and Human Services Agency, so we can talk about that today as well. And anything else on your mind next hour? So I mentioned yesterday, Senator Kramer joined us a day early so he could hit the Kindred football game, which is just about to kick off. Kindred and Belva and Alamos are playing at the first game here at the Fargo Dome. And so in his spot today, we have Ryan Zinke, top of the next hour, who is the former U.S. Secretary of Interior in the Trump administration, congressman from Montana. We'll get his reaction to what's possible with Doug there and then talk with Ron Ness about all the impacts of this on North Dakota. Trump policy on energy, on oil and gas. And also now with Governor Burgum leading those efforts. So all that coming up on the show. But in the meantime, want your take. 701-271-1100. Doug Burgum as Interior Secretary and then also Energy Secretary set to be announced as well. And Interior, really, when it comes to what you know is such a big part of North Dakota's economy, oil and gas development, is really the that's the one where you can impact the most change with oil and gas development. And I would argue a project to literally take on our federal debt. That's what excites me more than anything, and think what that would do for the economy and for our financial standing. So there's just so much, so many great things ahead. So I'm looking forward to it. Our one and only Dean Wysocki, chief meteorologist, is here for an update on our weather scene as we head into the weekend. I heard you say some big word yesterday about we're entering climate something or another. What are we entering now that's going to make things a little colder?
Well, the they call it the Arctic Oscillation.
There you go. That was the big word.
That goes positive and negative. When it's positive, we're usually much warmer than normal, which we have been over the last 7 weeks. I mean, it's just been an incredible warm fall. Now the Arctic Oscillation is going to start going into the negative territory. When that happens, we open up Canada, and the cold air starts pouring in. So we're going to start seeing that later next week, and it'll probably be here to stay for a while. So
Arctic Oscillation.
Arctic Oscillation.
Very good.
Yeah.
But just so, swinging the wrong way, but it's swinging the
correct way for this time of the year.
Matches the calendar.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Now, as we transition into that, we're going to see a couple storms come through through the region over the next week. Today, though, should be pretty quiet, although we do have some fog in the eastern third of the state, and some of that is on the dense side. Especially around the valley areas, and we're looking at that fog burning off, and we're looking at partly cloudy skies in the west and central, and then the fog eventually lifting by lunchtime in the far east. Highs pretty nice out in the central and western part of the state, low 50s, and then upper 40s to near 50 in the east. Now tonight, clouds will thicken up. We'll see rain and snow developing late in the west, and that will continue into the day on Saturday, with the rain-snow mix in the west and then rain in the central part of the state, dry in the east. Highs in, only in the low to mid-30s out west tomorrow, near 40 in the central and upper 40s to near 50 in the east. Now, we're not looking at a whole lot of precip out west. We'll take every little bit we can get, but this does not look like a big system by any means. And then that's out of here on Sunday, and we'll be looking at sunny, breezy conditions in the west, with mostly sunny skies in the central and east, with highs in the low 40s out west and upper 40s in the central and east to round out the weekend. Now, taking a sneak peek into next week, we do have a pretty big system coming in out of the central plains for the central and eastern part of the state for Monday night into Tuesday. unfortunately, areas in the West are not going to see much out of this, and those are the areas that really, really need the moisture. But following that system Tuesday of next week, colder air will start to pour into the northern plains. Not Arctic, but colder, kind of a return to normal with temperatures in the 30s by the end of next week. And it looks like that colder weather will stick around through the end of the month, with a couple more systems possible as we head towards Thanksgiving. So, boy, I'll tell you, the West is still in extreme drought conditions, and I don't see a big storm affecting their area for a while now.
There you go, folks. So watching all that closely. So you're telling me about midweek next week you're going to know if things are going to get a little on the ugly side?
Yeah, well, it looks like rain for the central and eastern part of the state. And then after that, colder weather, but no big snows. Still no big snows on the horizon.
Okay.
So that's good. But the moisture, we need it anyway. We need it in the central and east, and it looks like we'll get it later next week.
Beautiful. Thank you.
You bet.
Dean Wysocki, our chief meteorologist from the Flag Weather Center there on What's On Your Mind. So just a couple of thoughts here on the announcements. First of all, you know what I watch? I watch the reaction to these picks. And the louder they scream, the better they are. So I think the RFK thing is perfect. And I just was reading the New York Times a story. And if they're losing their mind, the Washington Post, the liberal Twitter sphere, it's fabulous. They're onto something. And the swamp is scared. So that's a good way to watch it. I think when I heard that Governor Burgum was going to be the Interior Secretary, the part of me was a little disappointed in that he would be limited to Interior rather than what we'd talked about for some time as what was being considered, and that was some sort of climate czar, wrong term, energy czar, to deal with sort of the whole climate thing, much like an ambassador like John Kerry was for the climate hoax for Biden, right? Where you're able to beam into all the different agencies and go kind of global. I'm guessing, I don't know this from anybody inside, but I'm guessing there'll be some version of that. I don't think Doug Burgum's going to be a typical Interior Secretary where, you're making sure that the national parks have, the litter picked up. You know what I mean? I think there's going to be, they're swinging for the fences here. And it was very telling in the president's remarks last night, where he's talking about energy tied to the economy and tied to, as he has on the campaign trail, specifically matching our federal debt. Okay? So this is, again, a little bit of 3D chess going on. There's a bigger vision here to use taxpayer-owned federal resources with responsible oil and gas development that does a couple things. One, it gives us America First energy dominance, right? And look at the contrast again. Federal leases shut down by the Biden administration. Now, these guys are going to go and talk at, why aren't we doing more leasing of federal lands? 700,000 acres of mineral resources owned?
No, 700 million.
I'm sorry, did I say 1,000? Yeah, three quarters of a billion acres of mineral resources out there. Half a million in actual land, half a billion in land mass. I mean, and would we say that's 20% of the entire federal land of the United States of America is owned by the federal government?
Yep.
So under an Obama, under a Biden, under a Bush, under, many, they've all been off limits. Meanwhile, as is typical in the, the private lands, you're seeing all this innovation, all this technology, all these things that are happening. We still say no to federal lands, but we can do this so much better. So think about that. Just think about what's possible. And I think actually you have the possibility, just with the federal lands alone, to make significant debt reduction that would just be rocket fuel for our economy and interest rates and everything. So you got to dream a little bit about what's possible here. That's for sure. And obviously, he knows this backwards and forwards, so it'll be great.
You know, buddy, I've been asking who all these Biden people are since Biden showed up. Now, Jennifer Granholm, our current, and I've talked about her. You tell them, and we'll run through
current,
this after the break.
Current Secretary of Energy.
Secretary of Energy. Do you know who the current Secretary of the Interior is? Do you know who that person is? Deb Haaland.
Yeah.
You gotta hear about Deb's resume, and then I want to. Instead of CEO of an energy company, he's going to take over Granholm.
Yeah, let's.
I want you to tell me what Deb's qualifications are.
Exactly. Failed to mention that our weather brought to you from Dean Wysocki, the best of the best by Schmidt's Gems. Trust the team of jewelry experts at Schmidt's Gems. They make it easy for you to pick out something she'll love. Schmidt's Gems and Fine Jewelry in Fargo. Find out more online at schmidtsjewelry.com. 20 past the hour. Your reaction. It's open phone Friday. Anything you want to talk about. You can talk about whether you think Mike Tyson's going to win tonight if you want to. It's totally up to you.
Oh,
just
yeah. Lay
it on us. First-time callers go to the front of the line on Fridays, too. So if you're a first-time caller, let Kevin know. 701-271-1100. Your reaction to Governor Burgum, nominated for Trump cabinet for interior. Any reaction on the RFK front? Whatever's on your mind. 701-271-1100. Text us. 701-237-1590. So, Kev, compare, as you were saying before the break, the credentials of Doug Burgum to the current Interior Secretary. Do the same, by the way, on Chris Wright. His name is Chris Wright. He's who our sources say will be named the Energy Secretary later today, CEO of Liberty Energy, I believe, is the company that he is at.
Let me ask, before we go through that, I just want to point out that the more I dug into all of these people, and, you know, 3.5, 4 years ago, nearly when Joe Biden apparently won the 2020 election, all of these people, you know, it was like, well, who are they? I mean, who is Merrick Garland? Who is Jennifer Granholm? And the more I dug into every single one of them, and please do, Alejandro Mayorkas, the DACA architect, another D.C. attorney. Jennifer Granholm, Harvard law grad, former governor of Michigan. And you go down the thing and you go, what qualifies her to be the Secretary of Energy? There's nothing. She is a politician. Now, the current Secretary of the Interior, imagine this. She's from New Mexico and got her law degree.
American.
Native American. Wonderful. Part of the Obama transition team in New Mexico. She kind of headed up that deal for Barack back in the day. So every one of these people are attorneys. They're all Barack put in place. I don't, and they complain. And my point on this, Scott, is that they're bitching and moaning about, oh, he's not qualified. He's not qualified. Show me where any of these people are qualified for any of the jobs they currently hold. My point.
And,
you could get a guy that manages the national park out at Yosemite to be the Department of the Interior, and he would know more, or she would know more than this another attorney.
No, you're exactly right. This is the genius of Trump, because these picks all are they're very, very strategic. They really are. And you know, number one, Trump's got a mandate. Number two, he's putting people in place that are going to challenge the status quo. Isn't that what we voted for?
Amen. Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, I think RFK is a good example. Let me play you this clip, which I think is very telling of how much evil and rot there is that needs to be routed out. This is a story from RFK Jr. about something that happened in the first Trump administration where he was challenging Fauci. And listen to this.
For many years, I was saying not one of the 72 vaccines mandated for children has ever been safety tested in pre-licensing placebo-controlled trials. Not one. Tony Fauci was saying he's lying. In 2016, President Trump appointed me to run a vaccine safety commission. And he ordered Fauci and Collins to meet with me with White House counsel present. And I said to Fauci at that meeting, you say I'm lying. For 8 years, you've been saying I'm lying about this. Show me this study. And he said, I don't have it here. It's back in Bethesda. And I'll send it to you. I never got it. So I sued him. Me and Aaron Seary, and after stonewalling us for a year, their lawyers met us on the courthouse steps and said, yep, you're right. We never had any study. And they gave it to us in writing. You can go to the CHD website, my website, and you can see that letter from HHS. There's no downstream liability. There's no front-end safety testing. That saves them $250 million. And there's no marketing and advertising costs because the federal government is ordering them to get, ordering 78 million school kids to take that vaccine every year. What better product could you have? And so they, there was a gold rush to add all these new vaccines to the schedule that we don't need. Most of these vaccines are unnecessary. Many of them are for diseases that are not even casually contagious. It was a gold rush. Because if you get onto that schedule, the recommended schedule, it's $1 billion a year for your company. And in many cases, NIH is bearing the royalties. So we got all of these new vaccines, 72 shots, 16 vaccines, and now even more because we're doing the HPV vaccine. And that year, 1989, we saw an explosion in chronic disease in American children. The neurological diseases suddenly exploded in 1989. ADD, ADHD, sleep disorders, language delays, ASD, autism, Tourette syndrome, tics, narcolepsy. These are all things that I never heard of. Autism went from 1 in 10,000 in my generation, according to the CDC data, to 1 in every 34 kids today.
All right, so he's not saying we shouldn't have the vaccines. What he's saying is we should be doing these trials on the front end because there's this racket that's going on where they don't have to do those trials. Tony Fauci says, you're lying. He says, well, show me the studies then. I'll send them to you.
Yeah.
Doesn't get them. Finally says, fine, I'm suing you because you're saying I'm lying and you're not there. And they have to tell him in court, you're right. Never read the study. We'll give you a letter. So
I think we're one of three, I think three countries in the world where pharmaceutical companies can advertise on mass media. And they are everywhere. So don't tell me they don't own it. You know, Carrie Lake talks about this all the time.
But that's a different deal than what he's talking about here.
Oh, yeah.
Because what he's talking about here is there's no need to advertise any of these because the school's now mandated.
Right.
And all he's saying is, why don't we have these trials beforehand? Why don't we safety test these? They're able to bypass it because it saves them money and then the school's mandate and they're there. And I mean, I don't think you can ignore what happened in 1989. Now, at the same time, what is all the critics saying? Oh, he wants to get rid of vaccines. He didn't say that. He's saying, let's actually put them through some, let's have transparency. Let's not have this game behind the scenes where NIH holds the rights to them. They're getting all these monies off them, the company. I mean, again, it's transparency. I think, and if you don't think that's evil, with Fauci telling, you're lying and having this little game. I mean, again, isn't that exactly what Donald Trump was elected to do? To the rot that is the bureaucracy, to say, no, wait a minute here. And I just say, why do they fear him so much? What is it that they fear? And
well, he's gonna drop them all like a bad habit.
He's going to be a disruptor.
Take your crap and leave.
Going to shine some light. Exactly right. Hey, Frank's a first-time caller, and Frank is going to be up next. Howard is on deck. Open phone Friday, 701-271-1100. Whatever's on your mind, lay it on us today on the program. How about some lasagna for lunch today? Ooh, with garlic toast, it's so dang good. West Main Avenue, West Fargo has it. Chicken and gravy out there as well. Chicken pot pie at the Valley City Petroserve USA. Harwood off I-29, great location, great car wash there too. Cheesy beef and potatoes. Speaking of which, you fill with 8 gallons or more at Petroserve USA today. How about a free car wash? What's not to love about that? Pulled pork at 12th and I-29. Tater tot hot dish downtown Fargo. Swedish meatballs in Euland. Beef noodles on 45th. Sloppy Joe's in Wahpeton. Petroserve USA Glendon on Highway 10. Meatball subs today. Frank, first time caller. Welcome to What's on Your Mind.
Hey, good morning. It's a pleasure every morning I listen to y'all. I drive a truck, so I'm hauling corn. So if I lose you, I'm coming into Ross, say. But I want to say every day that I hear from y'all about all the new wonderful picks that our President Trump has given us is a celebration for me. And I'll tell you why. After I listen to y'all in the morning, I get home in the afternoon and I put on YouTube and I look up everybody that y'all mention, Mr. Burgum, Mrs. Gabbard, Mr. Musk, Mr. Ramaswamy, Mr. Gaetz, Mr. Rubio, and it's a celebration. If I ain't doing shots, I'm cooking steak, I'm cooking jambalaya. I mean, it's just a festival. I'm getting tired of all this cooking.
I love this guy.
I mean, every day is, I mean, it's just, it's wonderful news. And I mean, it's like people don't realize just how much better everything is going to be. It's, I mean, I'm just flabbergasted. I voted for my president 3 times in a row. The last one was way back when, honestly, it was Clinton. I didn't have no problem with him. I mean, if I had a wife that looked like her, I would have done the same thing.
Oh, man.
But it's just phenomenal. I mean, I love all how informative y'all are. I mean,
I
listen
it,
to y'all all day till I stop. I mean, when I get done hauling 4 loads of corn by the afternoon, y'all are just so amazing. I mean, I listen to Bonnie Mastotti in the morning at 5:30, and then I listen as soon as y'all come on the air. Man, my phone, my telephone, my
Frank,
radio.
I'm blushing. I'm blushing. Come on.
You would not believe how informative y'all are. And I just can't believe. I just can't believe more people in the area do not listen. And I mean. It, common sense, but boy, I'll tell you what, y'all exceed the common sense. And yeah, I'm from Texas, so I still say y'all, and I've been living up here for 25, 27 years.
Well, it is a joy to hear your reaction to this election that I think is shared by so many of our listeners, Frank, who feel like it is morning in America again. It's a celebration. We're all dreaming about what's possible. And I don't know that you could have described it in a more joyous way. I love the listening all day and then doing YouTubes over steaks.
Well, steaks, jambalaya, you know, being from Texas, man, we know how to make that stuff.
A little barbecue.
Mud bugs, we call it. Yeah. Well, that too, ribs, pork loins. But yeah, I finally had to have the chance to call in and say, hey, man, I am just flabbergasted. I look forward to every morning to turning the radio on and listen to y'all. But the gentleman that has a deeper voice that's on your show, so I guess one of y'all is Mr. Kevin. Is the other one Mr. Jay Thomas?
Jay's on occasionally. Yeah, we had him on the other day talking about. I'm trying to remember all the days run together as far as the nominations that were concerned, but we were all like, this is great.
So it was the Hegseth. We're talking
there
about
you
Hegseth.
Go. It was a Pete Hegseth and Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy day. Yeah. So Jay joined us and Steve Hallstrom, who does the afternoon Steve Hallstrom show on Flag Fargo, to come in and talk a little bit about it as well. So, yeah, it's been fun to just do this right alongside our listeners. It really has.
Frank, take a picture with the Rothsay chicken and send it to us, will you?
You can't see that in this fog. It's bad enough. You can't see people that can't. No common sense. They don't drive with their lights on. And I'm a trucker. And it's like, really? How hard is it to turn that little switch, to turn your headlights on? Just because you leave it on auto, it gives you headlights, but it don't give you no taillights. Well, I can tell you right now, I'm south of Rothsay now, and I probably got about 150 feet worth of visibility. I'm doing about, maybe 50 miles an hour because, you know, you got all the little side roads and you don't never know who's going to pull out in front of a semi truck. And, I mean, we drive with our lights on. People need to use some common sense. I've been driving a truck for a long time.
If we put truckers in charge of driver education in this country, it'd be a lot more people roaming the landscape because there'd be less traffic deaths from the common sense you can pick up from a trucker who sees so much. And, you know, I hear that every time there's any kind of inclement weather, just turn the dang lights on. How hard is it, for crying out loud?
How about Frank for Secretary of Transportation?
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. Yeah, we got that post left too, don't we? Yeah.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. But my last comment is, have y'all heard, and I keep loving to wait to hear that you mention two people's names. One person in charge of the Secret Service. I'm hoping Dan Bongino. Second one,
I'm with
I'd
you.
Like to see, I would, since Mrs. Lake got robbed out of Arizona, even though that gentleman, okay, he's a veteran, okay, I'm for that. I'd like to see Miss Carrie Lake in some sort of a role in that administration.
How about press secretary?
And,
how about press secretary? Carrie Lake, former news reporter down there in Arizona.
Oh my.
Imagine her going toe-to-toe with the people in the White House press corps.
Well, you know, I like somebody that's going to argue with somebody, and I would like Alex Jones.
Talk about heads exploding. Yeah, exactly right. Oh, my gosh.
I would take, you know, but I'm looking forward to when y'all mention Mrs. Lake and you mention Dan Bongino.
You're right on Dan Bongino. He'd be the great one at Secret Service, former Secret Service agent himself.
I don't know if you did y'all watch the YouTube or his YouTube channel on Rumble when he went in front of, who was that congressional hearing, telling them how it was just, oh, man, I was just flabbergasted. But
great stuff.
Hey, I know y'all are busy and y'all, man, I'm looking forward to every day and the rest of the day listening to y'all talk.
Well, you're a loyal listener. And we appreciate you, Frank. And don't make this the first time and only time you call. We'd love to hear from you again.
And you make me feel like I'm back in San Antonio, brother. Y'all have a great weekend.
Be safe. Be safe out there cruising around and heed Frank's call. Look down. Are your lights on now or not if you're out there in that fog Lakes Country and south of Fargo that Dino's been warning you about. Thanks, Frank. Let's go to Howard Fargo next at 701-271-1100. What's on your mind, Howard?
Hey, guys.
Hi there.
Good to speak with you.
You as
well.
And
you know what? I'd like to spend some time in Frank's kitchen.
Big time. Big
Sounds
time.
Sounds really good.
Celebration Kitchen. I'm with you.
I'm with you.
And more importantly, now, Mr. Burgum, he's fourth in line to the throne. You know, if something happens, he's number four.
Is Interior number four?
Yep. Secretary of the Interior is number four.
I did not know that, the line of succession. Because it goes, it goes president, vice president, and is it Senate pro tem then?
President no, Secretary of State is four.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, president pro tem of the Senate, Secretary of State, fourth in line. And then Secretary of the Treasury, Defense, Interior is eighth in line.
Eighth in line.
Yep.
Screwed that up.
That's okay. Right behind the Attorney General.
I was praying that he would get this position because I think he is going to be a great one.
I think this position, Interior, can do the most for
exactly.
Oil and gas industry without question.
Yep.
And federal lands obviously, and there's federal lands issues with coal and all kinds of minerals, ultimately impacting the economy through debt relief. And again, you heard Trump say that. We can play that again when we come back here. But he's talking about we're going to do what he said was land and energy. So he's thinking exactly the same way. The president said this during the campaign many times. Look what we could do to take out the federal debt by the better use of federal land. So it's a big job. I'm with you, Howard. I think it's great.
So much government or land, our real estate is under their control. And so he can loosen the strings. Release the energy that we have.
Yeah, great points, Howard.
Drill, baby, drill.
Great points. Appreciate your call. Thank you. 701-271-1100. Let's go out to Lake Park, Minnesota. And Paul, what's on your mind?
Hello. I don't know about all these people. The reason why I called in, because I have a question for you. But all the people that our president-elect Trump has appointed, I don't know all of them and you know, everything about them, but I trust our president-elect because of what he did the first time he was president, and he knows Washington, D.C. better now than he did when he first was elected. So I trust him completely. I've got a question for you, Scott. You know, when President Trump was in office, how the media bashed him every single day. I mean, it was just nothing but bad things about Trump. And then they impeached him three times, and one time over a phone call he made. Now, I know they can't do that now because the Republicans have the control of the House and the Senate when he comes in office. But what about the media? Are they going to learn their lesson?
No.
Yeah, at first I thought, no, they're no. At first I thought, nope, they have, because the way this this campaign went and he won, the media knows that people aren't listening to them. Are they going to lie about Trump again?
Of course.
Or are they going to kind of treat him better?
No.
I thought they're going to treat him better because they want their ratings up. But now I'm going, no, they're not going to.
That's a blood sport for the regime media. They're an arm. They're the, the arm of the deep state, the Democrats, the, you know, the establishment. They're all in one pile of ick, Paul. You know, I think they might be off their footing a little bit right now, because of the overwhelming win and trying to, you know, get to, but you can be sure, there will be a onslaught. They're gonna, you're right. It's tougher because of Republican control of both the House and Senate. But no, to answer your question, no, they're going to be as ugly and as brutal as ever. But I think some of Trump's picks tell you he's anticipating that and saying, game on, baby, game on. Let me tell you a story about Diane Schilling. She was the heartbeat of her family, bringing joy and comfort to everyone she met. When it came time to consider hospice care, her family turned to Hospice of the Red River Valley. With their expert care and support, Diane's final days were filled with the same warmth she gave to others. Her husband, Harvey, said, without them, we would have survived, but not nearly as well. Hospice of the Red River Valley, compassionate care when it's needed most. Find out more at hrv.org. Texter says, I missed yesterday's show. What did Kramer say about Matt Gaetz's nomination? I can summarize that to say, open to a yes vote, but being pretty negative on whether or not that's actually going to get across the finish line is what I would say. Speaking of Matt Gaetz, I saw Megyn Kelly talk about why Trump picked Matt Gaetz. And I'm with Megyn Kelly on why and the message it's sending. Let's play that clip, Kev.
If you are Donald Trump and your chosen attorney general has turned you over to Robert Mueller, who then ruined your first term as president with a bunch of, then you leave office and the next guy's attorney general is behind not one, but two criminal prosecutions of you. And his DOJ is cooperating with not one, but two state prosecutions of you in a bridge that's never been crossed in our 250-year history as a nation. Then I too might prize loyalty to me above all other qualities and go with a guy like Matt Gaetz. Who can blame Trump for trying to pick the most loyal soldier he can find for this position?
And who's going to be fearless.
Yeah.
And who's going to scare the daylights out of the corrupt people who, again, go back to the Peter Strzok and what's her face and the kissy face,
Comey,
and we're going to get him. I saw Comey the other day say, you know, he sent two FBI agents into the White House to lie about Michael Flynn. Okay, so they interviewed him and then they changed it. And he said, normally we'd never do that. We'd go through the White House counsel office and there'd have to be a back and forth. I just sent two guys over there because I knew that they wouldn't know any better, and we got them. I mean, again, the FBI director at the time openly talking about you know, not following standard operating procedure to go in and do what they did. Again, that's the swamp. That's what he's up against. Texas says the first job for Governor Burgum at Interior should be to take care of the wild horse issue. Fire whoever thought that was a good idea. All right. Another Texas says, Doug is the ugliest governor. Kristi Noem is the hottest. I'm not sure that was a qualification. Yeah, I think we're looking at other things.
Doug's got that strap and North Dakota cowboy vibe going.
Another texter says, it's funny hearing the media say controversial pick over and over and over again, while in the same breath admitting that it's no surprise because he's doing what he said he would do, right? So it's controversial if he's doing what the majority of Americans hired him to do. Great point on the part of this listener. None of this is a surprise. He's doing exactly what he said he would do. Go back to Burgum. He talked about what we're going to do on energy is dominate. And we're going to open up lands and we're going to take out the federal debt. It's exactly what he said he was going to do.
Dude, imagine right now the murmurs going on, and you know this area more community more than I do, but the murmurs going on in the venture capital world, especially when it comes to petroleum and liquid natural gas and pipelines and all of the billions of dollars that are just waiting for someone to say, yeah, well, you can do it again. Am I wrong?
No. No. Exactly right. Another listener says they should move the headquarters of the Department of Interior to North Dakota.
Well, there you go.
As they should move most federal departments out of the D.C. area. They did a version of that. I'm trying to remember what was proposed, but it's a great idea.
Omaha. They talked about education in Omaha, if we even need a DOE anymore.
Yeah, and I think it was Interior. We'll ask Ryan Zinke about that. Trump's first Interior Secretary, Ryan Zinke, is going to join us to react to Governor Burgum being in his old spot, Congressman from Montana, next hour. So we'll ask him about that.
Maybe Kansas City actually put the Department of the Interior in the Interior.
I would also connect it back to what Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy are doing related to transforming government. Because if you said, okay, everybody in Interior, this job will now be located in, the middle of the country, you're going to weed out a lot of the issue right there. 701-271-1100, Ryan Aberdeen, what's on your mind?
I don't know, fellas. I'm not sure that I really share your enthusiasm over all this. And I'll tell you why. Not because of how I feel about Trump or any of his appointments personally, but the truth of the matter is I'm a businessman, and my business, be it oil or whatever else, got the rug pulled out from under it at the stroke of a pen by Joe Biden. Why would I want to risk revving up my business again under Trump with the uncertainty of what could happen in another 4 years when Trump can no longer run for office? Now, that's a harsh political reality, but I've been saying for years that it's the system that's broke, and it matters far more than it should who is in office. And to the degree that Trump can prevent things like that from happening in the future, that's a good thing. But I'll wait and see.
Yeah, I wouldn't wait too long. I think I've been amazed the amount of clients that we have that see a whole different attitude just from the election and knowing what's coming, and are seeing more business pouring in already and everything else. To me, make hay while the sun is shining, baby. More coming up. Welcome to another hour of What's on Your Mind. We're going to be joined by Congressman Ryan Zinke in just a moment, former Secretary of Interior, to talk about the news last night from President Trump that Governor Burgum will be nominated today officially as the Secretary of Interior nominee for the Trump administration. Also, Ron Ness of the North Dakota Petroleum Council at the bottom of the hour going to dream a little bit about the impacts of Burgum and Interior and Trump as president and what that means for the American energy renaissance, and specifically what's happening in the Bakken. So looking forward to that conversation as well. Jeff and Wilson's been waiting to weigh in. Let's get you in here quick before our guest. Jeff, what's on your mind?
And thanks for having me on, Scott. I don't think this Senate is going to approve most of President Trump's nominees. So what I suggest respectfully to the president is just do recess appointments and just bypass the Senate because they're just too divided, too politicized. So, and then I think the American people will support him in doing so. And the Democrats play dirty ball, hard ball, like what's going on in Pennsylvania and Buck County right now with the votes, where the Pennsylvania Supreme Court said they couldn't do what they're doing, but they told the Pennsylvania Supreme Court to basically go pack sand and breaking the law. So I think President Trump should just do recess appointments. The Bargino would be perfect, Secret Service, and Kerry Lake would be great as press secretary. And that's all I had to say.
All right, Jeff, thank you. Recess appointments aren't as easy as they sound. I mean, I think they're For one, you only have 2 years in that post, so you're sort of wounded going in. But for instance, like some of the people that have announced on the Democratic side that they're not for RFK Jr. as HHS secretary, you know, if you have Democrats obviously against them and some Republicans against them, you still have to get people to agree to recess to be able to do, you know, the appointment. They know what's coming. So that isn't quite as easy as it sounds either. I think go full speed ahead and get everything through that you can get through with 53 senators.
I like the way you put it, Scott, too. It's like just, you know, you've got to go. This is a mandate. I mean, Trump has a huge mandate here. And if you're not behind it, if you're not with it, then get out of the way. And it'd be like Charlie Kirk said, we'll be primarying you immediately if you don't vote for who he wants.
I think if I was Charlie, I wouldn't run around threatening primaries at this point. Just try and convince enough of the 53 to actually vote for Trump's nominees. Make that the deal.
Case.
Ryan Zinke, our good friend of the program, newly reelected for another term in Congress, which is great, and obviously helped get Tim Sheehy across the finish line over John Tester doing God's work in Montana. And welcome back to the program. Z, how are you, sir?
Oh, look, another Navy SEAL in Congress.
Now we believe we have 6 SEALs in the House and 1 in the Senate. I think we're almost halfway there. But on recess, just to make a comment, you are correct. And it is not as straightforward and easy. And I'll really quickly, both houses have to be in recess. That's not a huge hurdle, except on the Senate, you need 51 votes, but amendments are in order. So in the Senate, when amendments are in order, they'll have, you know, they do these voteramas, and it may take a long time. But members can submit amendments, and amendments would be, you know, I'm guessing, but I would think the opposition would say that, you know, investigations would have to be, you know, brought to the committee of jurisdiction, or an FBI background check have to be done. There's all sorts of amendments they can put on, which would, you know, restrict the president's ability to simply appoint by recess. So it's a challenge in the Senate. You know, Thum, even if he said yes, I will do it, he doesn't have that full authority in the process to arbitrarily just go into recess and let it happen. So there's a lot of work to be done, and there's members on both sides of the aisle of the Senate that have expressed their concern. Not that that's the SI word. Some of them are major concern, but on Doug's case, you know, I can't think of a better person to run Interior. I've known your governor and been with your governor, spent a lot of time with him and know him personally. And, you know, look, the governor of North Dakota is energy centric. He's also very, very clever, innovative, and he understands that Interior is the production side of energy. Department of Energy primarily is nuclear and grants. It is really the heart of energy that Interior has, both onshore and offshore, and Bureau of Reclamation with power and a number of things. So I'm excited, and I think Doug's confirmation will fly through. He's respected on both sides of the aisle, so great pick. And Doug Burgum's going to be a wonderful, wonderful, and effective secretary.
In announcing it last night, President Trump said the following: we're going to do some incredible things with energy, land, and Interior. What does he mean by that?
Well, when I came in as secretary, to give you an idea, we were 8.3 million barrels a day and declining. In 2 short years, we were 12.5. We were the world's largest exporter of energy, but also we lowered emissions. Because no one does it cleaner, better, more efficiently than the U.S., and fossil fuels are part of that mix. On land, I think most of us out west, you know, are frustrated every summer that our forests are burning to the ground, and yet you can't harvest a single tree. So I think your governor understands clearly that it is a management issue, and our resources need to be managed. As well as you know, on the EV world and the information technology, you know, industry, we need critical minerals, and we should not be held hostage by foreign entities, particularly China, for our critical minerals that make up either defense or EV, lithium, cobalt, germanium being one of a few. And we as in the U.S., we're blessed with enormous resources, but it's been very, very difficult to mine them and extract them. And look, you know, the mining practices have changed greatly over time. We use best practices, best science. So I think we're going to focus also on making sure that our critical minerals, those things that are driving the new economy, are we control our own destiny rather than be dependent on our adversaries in some cases or enemies in others.
I've heard also President Trump many times on the campaign trail talk specifically about federal lands and the critical minerals that the taxpayers own under those federal lands in an effort to bring down the debt. What's possible, Ryan? What could be done if we lean into that in our bold? What can we bring on the table that's currently politically inaccessible in the way of those assets?
Well, we certainly have the assets as far as critical minerals go and the energy assets, but the permitting process has been long and elaborate. In many ways, I think some of the government branches need to be reorganized and maybe perhaps all of them and make sure that we're efficient and we can make a decision in a relatively short time frame whether it's a good project or bad. You know, it's very difficult if you're a mining concern to apply for a permit, and 25 years later you might get it. And I can give you multiple examples of that. And if you're raising capital, which you know a lot of these projects are capital intensive, you know, 25 years to wait for a permit, there's not going to be a lot of people waiting in line for that investment. You know, a lot of it is looking at the permit process, making sure that public input is in there, but also, you know, a few extremists shouldn't get their way. You know, everyone has a say, but no one has the say. And you know, national security makes a difference, and it matters. When we're held as a country hostage, you know, particularly in lithium, cobalt, and there are a number of critical minerals that are absolutely, you know, necessary for the defense, you know, laser optics, those type of things. And when the U.S. doesn't have a supply chain, and I'm just not talking about mining, I'm talking about mining and processing. When you can't process in this country some of the materials, you put that whole supply chain at risk.
Short break. When we come back, I want to talk a lot about the lessons learned. I mean, you found out what the deep state and the bureaucracy can do, what headwinds will be there, and how will the Trump team approach those with the lessons learned from the first administration to this next administration. Ryan Zinke, congressman from Montana, former Interior Secretary, our guest on What's On Your Mind. Don't go away. Cybersecurity professionals are in high demand right now. We need them to meet the rising technology needs of small and large businesses to address the challenges that are resonating all across the globe. The University of Mary is supporting this need through a new Cybersecurity Administration degree program, which you can complete on campus or online. So if you or someone you know is looking for a career in a much-needed field, the University of Mary offers personalized degree programs that support career success and personal fulfillment. Find out more at umary.edu/CSA. Chatting with our friend Ryan Zinke, a member of Congress from Montana, former Interior Secretary. First of all, just on Governor Burgum, once he gets there, what lessons learned from your time there, and what advice would you give him on the headwinds that he's going to face in that job to bring about some change?
Well, you did talk about the deep state. You know, and the first time around, all of us knew the deep state was there. And kind of a Western analogy is I had a set of hip waders. That deep state was a lot deeper than we thought. We should have brought a boat. So I think Doug's an incredibly smart guy. He's going to have to bring a team in, and he's going to have to rearrange the organization and hold people accountable. You know, a fact is that you know, Washington, D.C., about 94% of Washington, D.C. voted for Harris. And I say, you know, the other 6% don't work in government. So when you go to an interior or apartment state, primarily they're very monolithic politically. And within that group, about 30% or so are in the resistance mode. And you know, a new administration came in. President Trump has a mandate by the way the people, certainly in North Dakota, it wasn't even close. And he's going to have a challenge to make sure that he holds the Department of Interior and the bureaucrats and the career professionals accountable on their actions. So he's going to have to bring a team in. When I was secretary, you know, there were 17 Senate-confirmed positions. And after 2 years, I only got 7 out of 17 in. And I would imagine they're going to roll, you know, the Office of Government Ethics when you go through. They'll put your conditions upon an appointment. By the way, the Democrats don't have the same conditions. And then an FBI background check, those oftentimes were slow-rolled. In my tenure, and you know, the Senate itself, you know, needed to bring the appointments and confirmations to hearings, et cetera, et cetera. When I was there, a lot of focus was on the Supreme Court. Thank you, but you know, some of the functions of the departments and those positions are critical to have a really good team around them. You know, and as a you know, a former Navy SEAL, I can tell you, a successful formula is a great leader, but also that great leader surrounds himself with really, really good people and empowers them to do great things. And so he's going to need a team of really, really talented people, and he's going to have to trust those people and empower them to get the job done.
How do you think that process will be different this time? And just what you've seen so far, the speed at which they're filling these cabinet positions and staff positions, and some of the people they've picked who clearly are designed to say there's a whole new ball game going on. What do you make of Trump's approach this time versus last time in dealing with some of those roadblocks that come from the deep state?
Well, I tell you, this time he's been through it once, so he knows. We thought the deep state was deep, but we didn't know how deep it was. I think now President Trump knows how deep it is and what has to be done. The other thing is during the last 4 years, you had the American Policy Institute, you know, led by Chad Wolf, Linda Moran, McMahon, and others, you know, started putting policy in place of what we're going to do should we be successful, which we are. And I think the emphasis will be energy, back to independence, perhaps dominance in some field, and correct management. And how he's going to do that, he will rescind to the degree he can in law much of the regulations that were put in. And then he'll go to the process of new regulatory, which will give, you know, an advantage to those that innovation, best practices, best science, with the purpose of getting things done. There's a lot of, I would say, concern and disgust, if that's the right term, of our government, number one, not being accountable, two, not being transparent, but probably most importantly, not getting the job done. I mean, you look at where we are in the world, we have adversaries that are flexing their muscle. They don't respect us overseas. We have Ukraine, $200 billion in, and no plan, no objectives. We have China measuring the drapes in Taiwan. We have Israel with ICBMs being directly launched from around. And, of course, we have, you know, the Southern Hemisphere, you know, our backyard. I'm a big advocate of the Monroe Doctrine. And in that discussion, Mark Rubio, I think, is an excellent choice for Department of State because I think he understands the importance of Mexico, Central, and South America, and that we have not paid attention to our friends in South, and we're paying the price for it. So I think there's going to be a new, I would say, emphasis on our southern neighbors and the Monroe Doctrine, which will be enormously helpful.
Listener wanted us to ask you about moving the Department of Interior literally to you know, somewhere in the middle of America, and I know that you did some things with field offices and whatnot, but you know, is that possible to take a cabinet agency out of D.C. And begin draining the swamp that way?
Well, I moved BLM out because primarily Bureau of Land Management issues are west. That's their preponderance of their assets. And I think when you move the government closest to their function, the people who they serve, I think that there's goodness in there. When I was in the position, began to look at it, and I think it goes to all departments. I think it's time to reorganize government to make it more efficient, more responsible, more transparent. You know, and as a former SEAL, as an example, you know, I'm pro-defense, but Department of Defense has over 800,000 DOD employees. And you know, when you look at the cost of that in payroll, pension, and health care, that's, you know, over a $200 billion enterprise. And of a budget of $867, when you're spending over $200 billion on out-of-uniform personnel that fight for programs, but they don't fight on front lines, just to give you an idea of combat strength, that's about 20 aircraft carriers a year that we're spending on bureaucracy. And look, we can only flush four or five carriers as the most powerful country in the world today. So losing 20 aircraft carriers, the strength of that a year in bureaucracy, is unsustainable. So we're going to have to reorganize. Last time defense was organized was 1984, Defense Reorganization Act, in the second term of Ronald Reagan. And I look, well, what's the same? You'll go back to 1984. You and I remember it. You know, what in the world is the same?
No kidding.
There's very little, if anything, is the same.
Unbelievable. So I tell you what, it's going to be a breath of fresh air. A lot to do in a short period of time and fighting the swamp the whole way. But I like a Navy SEAL's chance doing it with the House, the Senate, and this Trump administration. It's going to be fun to watch. We'll stay in touch through it all and appreciate your time today. Thanks, Ryan.
Indeed, and God bless.
Congressman Ryan Zinke. On the Governor Burgum appointment, we'll talk with Ron Ness and the North Dakota Petroleum Council about the X's and O's that are possible now under this new administration in Burgum and Interior next. We are powered by Pucklich on What's On Your Mind. Our good friends at Pucklich, North Dakota's home for Chevy Bismarck, as well as Valley City right there on Main Avenue. PucklichValleyCity.com. Great selection of the 2025 showing up already. And some 24s that they're wheeling and dealing on. Always good deals on the pre-owned. Just a good place to do business. They get me all across this great state of North Dakota and beyond with that wonderful GMC Sierra Duramax diesel. Love my diesel. First diesel I've ever owned. Great gas mileage. Absolutely love it. Whatever you're looking for, they'll take care of it. Pucklich, just tell them Scott sent you. 28 before the top of the hour, Ron Ness is the president and CEO of the North Dakota Petroleum Council. Joins us next to react to the news that our governor, Doug Burgum, will be the Interior Secretary in the new Trump administration. And we have, obviously, a Trump administration that even before the announcement of Governor Burgum officially joining has been talking a lot about American energy dominance. The president last night making the announcement about Governor Burgum said we're going to do some great things with energy, land, interior. Has talked a lot about federal lands and bringing down the national debt and tying energy to the economy. So no surprises on what's coming. What could all that mean for our great state? We're going to explore that a little bit today with Ron on the program. Welcome back, Ron. How are you? Happy Friday.
Good morning, Scotty. It's good to be here. Hope all is well.
Just talk.
And there is great hope in America and across the world, isn't there?
There sure is. We just talked to your friend Ryan Zinke a little bit about his old post that Governor Burgum will be in, and talking a little bit about what he'll face and how he can do what he can do and what's possible. So I know there's a lot of that going on today. First of all, your reaction to Governor Burgum as the Interior Secretary. I guess not a big surprise. We thought he'd probably land somewhere, but didn't know exactly where. Is Interior the perfect spot for him?
Yeah, I really think Interior is a spot. You can change the country. You can change the world from Interior. There's a lot of those jobs where you're simply going to be, fighting the bureaucracy. And as Z likely told you, he's got a lot of bureaucracy there to fight. But you can literally just have an impact on so many things that directly relates back to inflation and relates back to geopolitics of the world. And why in the world wouldn't we be utilizing our country's great natural resources and And this is just something I think Governor Burgum is going to enjoy. You run the national parks, you run the federal lands, you run, it is a big agency. You can help and support tribes across the country, you know, all things that he's good at, and you can share that positive values of energy and opportunity. So I think it's a great fit for him, and certainly one that I think is most beneficial to the state of North Dakota.
Talk specifically about the touches from this department related to North Dakota, specifically to oil and gas.
Well, the Bureau of Land Management is a an agency underneath the Department of Interior. The organization that runs the tribal lands is basically underneath the Department of Interior. It is such a wide-reaching scope, but the policies immediately, taken under the Biden administration, day one, really, 3.5, nearly 4 years ago, were just to basically restrict, stop, prevent oil, gas, coal development in this country at all costs, putting everything else in front of those things, taking public lands off the shelf, stopping lease sales, the Gulf of Mexico. And we may not see that immediately, but what you do is you see it 3, 5, 7, 9 years from now. And those policies have just been an absolute, at the time when we really had energy dominance coming out of that Trump administration and Russia and the Middle East and all of those entities were on their knees, you know, we basically gave them back the opportunity to again supply our friends and allies across the world with energy at a time when we've been at the very cusp of being able to do that. Generally speaking, on the oil and gas side, when you open up all these things and you create more supply, what happens, Scott? You see a lower price of oil and natural gas and coal, which is great for consumers, great for the world, great for inflation. So why in the world would the oil and gas industry want this? Because the crushing regulatory components just run you out of business. They are running small operators out of business. They're running small North Dakota type domiciled oil and gas producers, which are nothing different than small farmers, out of business by driving up their costs with duplicative, costly, and burdensome regulations. They do that just slash after slash after slash, and that's what we're seeing with. And then they use EPA on top of that to penalize you. And something's got to change. This is certainly a big change. And I'm sure my friend Ryan Zinke said, this is fixable. It's always fixable, right? So we now have the team in place that can fix this.
So when you do fix it, and you're again, being everything you described by the Biden administration, all by design, to the point, I've lost track how many different lawsuits there are, and many of them they've lost. The federal lands one was a good example, right? I mean, very early in the Biden administration, they said no drilling on federal lands. Didn't they lose that in court and then proceed to say, okay, we'll open up leases again, but we'll do it like in the most slow walk pace you could ever really do. You know, so just accomplish the same goal, just did a different way, totally, not following the spirit of the actual court action on that. Am I right on that?
100% accurate reflection. They were forced to open up lease sales, so they said, okay, we'll open up lease sales, but they opened up lease sales not in the Bakken. They opened them up in areas where there was very little, if any, interest. Then they raised the fees, they raised the cost, they raised all the costs of doing business on those lands, so making it virtually impossible to follow through with that. And you know, the biggest one of all from an American standpoint, though, is for them to cancel the Keystone XL pipeline, which, you know, again, it's like a massive amount of, I was up in Alberta this summer, 50 to 70 year supply of oil coming right through North America to Oklahoma, Texas refineries, not Bakken type crude. This is a heavier, more sour crude oil, but that crude oil would have placed Venezuelan crude oil and some Middle Eastern crude oils. And we'd had it coming right through America. Now the Canadian government over the last 3.5 years has built a pipeline that takes that oil all the way to the west coast of Canada. It was originally going to California. Now it's starting to go into the Middle East and China and Japan and places like that. So just think of what 50 to 70 years, what that may mean in a time of who knows what's going on with resource development and in the world, we just basically gave that to our potential enemies.
Yeah, crowning achievement of both the Obama and the Biden administrations. How about on the LNG exports, too? What, I mean, remind me what they did there.
Well, they put a pause. We're at a point where we've got incredible natural gas resources in this country, just absolutely incredible. The price of natural gas has been depressed on the producer side for a number of years now. We were 15 years ago, we were building import LNG facilities to bring gas and that liquefied natural gas into America to run our manufacturing and those things. With the evolution of the shale plays on natural gas, we've been building liquefied natural gas export facilities across the coastlines of America. And this administration, right when Germany and those European countries needed natural gas, what do? We put a pause on that process, allowing Russia to basically provide natural gas into Europe. So, Scott, why would you do that? I just, for the life of me, I cannot figure that out. We've got the ability to supply the world with energy, which makes the world much less likely to attack us and hate us. And just like our friends in Israel, if they can supply their friends and neighbors and allies in that region, obviously it gives them a stronger relationship with them. So, but that's all about to change. I think Governor Burgum is going to be a great advocate for all of the above resources, development, utilization of our federal lands for both, public use as well as use of mineral development and other things, much like what Theodore Roosevelt initially developed those as multiple use public lands that we've been doing it for decades and decades, and we can continue to do it now.
So brick by brick, you bring that wall down. You can do some of these things quickly because they're executive orders that can be released. What? Just dream a little bit about, you got a mandate, obviously. You've got now the House and Senate, so you don't have any roadblocks there. What will that impact be on North Dakota? What do you see this, this moment, including Doug at Interior and including the mandate Trump has in the House and the Senate together? What's possible? What will that mean for North Dakota?
Well, two things, Scott. Number one, instead of waking up every morning as a small business with the federal government trying to shut you down, slamming you with 27 new regulations, new taxes, new fees, new everything, you can put that money back into research and technology and drive your production and your efficiency, which you're going to need to do. Energy prices are likely to go lower. That means you need to be able to operate at a lower price threshold, which is the exact opposite of what we were seeing happen the last 3.5 years. So I think it frees up the opportunity for investment into energy. It changes the mantra around what this energy country should be doing with energy. The biggest challenge for Governor Burgum and frankly the Trump administration is just not to do things cosmetically on the top layer like they did in the previous time they were in charge. They only got, not very deep into the regulations and things that would stick beyond them leaving office. So when they were gone, bam, it got changed immediately. They've got to figure out how to drive change throughout those organizations. Governor Burgum's biggest challenge will be all the bureaucrats in that organization and all the good people that have left because they didn't like the direction of either Interior, or you're going to see an energy secretary announcement today that is going to be fantastic as well. Chris Wright, who you met at our Williston Basin Petroleum Conference, I think he's going to be named the Secretary of Energy today. One of the most dynamic energy speakers that we've seen, a guy that just gets the real value of what energy means to the world and in terms of health and survival and all of those things. So pretty exciting. We had both those guys at our Williston Basin Conference last year. So it should be good.
Future looks bright. Ron, thanks for the time today. It's about time to unleash it all. And the lessons learned from the first go-round, plus House and the Senate together, like you say, let's not make this change temporary, and let's make it permanent. Thanks for the update. Good chatting with you.
All right, Scotty. Thanks for having me on today. Bye.
Talk to you soon. Ron Ness of the North Dakota Petroleum Council. Last chance to weigh in on any of this, 701-271-1100. Call us, 271-1100, after this. Lunchtime today, lasagna with garlic toast, waiting for you, West Main Avenue, West Fargo, or chicken and gravy at that location, cheesy beef potatoes in Harwood, chicken pot pie in Valley City, pulled pork, 12th and I-29, tater tot hot dish, MP Avenue, downtown Fargo, Swedish meatballs in Yulin, beefy noodles on 45th, sloppy joes in Wahpeton, and meatball subs in Glendon. If you fill with 8 gallons or more, you get a free car wash today, too, at PetroServe USA Home Cooking, grab-and-go convenience. The North Dakota Public Service Commission moments ago approved the permit application for Summit Carbon Solutions and the pipeline that has been subject to, I guess, regulatory limbo is about the best way I could say it for the last 2 years. I did ask Ron Ness to stick around for a moment to react to that news. Ron, what do you think?
Scott, I think that project has been in the PSC for nearly 750 days. They certainly had some stumbles early on, but they have, you know, they have followed the law, in which state law is very clear what you need to do to have a permit permitted by the PSC. And I think that that project's got to move forward. It's no different than what we're talking about on the on these big federal lands, federal projects. Whether you move in oil and gas or, I guess, in this case, carbon dioxide, there's got to be a process to permit linear infrastructure to get things done in this country. And it'll be interesting to see how some of that all plays out. But not unlike other industries, everything starts from somewhere. And potentially there's great opportunity, I think, for North Dakota. We've had the research. We've got the technology. And I'd rather see it done here and done right than anywhere else, frankly.
And you know, I think again, some people get wrapped up in the reasons for it. But the one I always come back to is the insatiable appetite that North Dakota will have for CO2 in order to have ultimately enhanced oil recovery, and certainly on the storage side, on the coal front, it's survival. You know, they literally don't survive without an option like this. But what does it mean for oil and gas ultimately to have the availability of the CO2?
Well, Scott, as you know, it would be virtually impossible to build a pipeline across a portion of this country, anything related to oil and gas. The fact that there's a pipeline of potential opportunity of CO2 coming here, when we do crack the code on how to supercharge the Bakken with CO2, it's a game changer for the state of North Dakota and, frankly, for this country. Nobody else has done it from shale oil. It's going to take a lot more research. The Energy Environmental Research Center, we've been working on CO2 and enhanced oil recovery since 2002. These rules were set for carbon storage in 2009 by the legislature. So maybe these stars all align at some point here, and I hope the very near future. But we got to keep moving forward in North Dakota, and we got to take advantage. And you know, there's a lot of unhappiness about parts of this, and some of it was, you know, the Green New Deal, some of it was Bidenomics. I don't like the differentiation in the tax credit between carbon storage and utilization for enhanced oil recovery. Maybe this administration can get some of those things fixed. But, you know, under the initial Trump administration, the Q45 tax credits for carbon were put in place. So this isn't all just part of what happened in the Biden era. They added some stuff onto it we don't like, and some of those things, but those things are fixable too.
You call it a game changer. I mean, what I would like people to really understand from the perspective of someone that knows the industry better than anybody is that without it, you have a very different picture for the future of oil and gas, and ultimately for the largest payer of all things, roads, bridges, water projects, education in North Dakota. That's the oil and gas industry. I mean, you call it a game changer because without this carbon solution, if you will, to enhanced oil recovery, we're going to have a pretty dire future in oil and gas development pretty quickly, are we not?
Well, the facts are that oil and gas wells decline over time because of pressure. And we've produced 5 billion barrels today over the past nearly 20 years out of the Bakken. We've got another 5 billion barrels that we're probably going to get off that resource. But there's 300 billion barrels of oil in the Bakken. And if you can find a way to mobilize that oil with a combination of natural gas and or CO2, that will move that oil off that rock, you can get another, you know, 5 to 15 billion barrels, which means another 40 to 60 years potentially of oil at high levels. Otherwise, you go into decline and you better start looking for other resources, you know, other formations in the state, because that's just the way it happens. You drill in a certain area and you produce that oil, you depressurize the reservoir, and you're going to get less oil down the road. And those things tend to happen relatively quickly, then they flatten out, but at much lower. So the rest of us in North Dakota have to figure out how to pay those extra tax bills, and the equated job loss and all of those things will happen sooner rather than later if you can value up these technologies and bring them to the forefront and make it happen. So.
Next lift will be South Dakota to ultimately get the project across the finish line. They're just starting that process down there now. So the reconsideration, much like North Dakota's done, and that'll be the last key component to it too. But North Dakota across the finish line, Iowa now as well. And it is so important in the future of this great industry that it's a good day for North Dakota. Thanks, Ron. Appreciate the reaction. Wanted to get you on that too.
Thanks, Scott.
All right, friends, that's going to do it for us today. Fun show, busy show, a lot of ground to cover. I am every day getting up just saying, what's possible now with the Trump mandate, with the House and the Senate? It's every day feels like a new day. There's a new energy, no pun intended, about what's going on. And North Dakota is going to be at the epicenter of that. So these are exciting times. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday. God bless you, one and all. Thanks.